good to know that His promises are always yes and amen? For me, that's one of the most encouraging and best things about just this point in my life where I'm at right now, my point of understanding where my journey is taking me and my walk, and I'm just so thankful that I know that His promises are always yes and amen. Father God, we thank You that Your promises are always yes and amen. God, we thank You that You walk with us, You journey with us as we grow and walk towards You, and as we continue on this journey to You, Father, I thank You. God, I thank You that today as believers, as new covenant believers, as a new covenant church, Father, that we can stand in Your promises. Every promise from Your word is ours. So God, we thank You for that. God, we thank You that we don't have to run on to the best craze and the latest fad that we see on the internet or TV, Father, but we know we can stand in You and in Your promises, Father, so we thank You for that. God, we love You. God, we honor You. Father, we thank You so very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Make yourself comfy. Soon enough, maybe we'll get to say we can sip our coffee or something. I think that happens in a couple weeks again. So that'll be good. I'm excited like Mel's excited. Mel's the only one that's excited to have coffee together. And okay, there, that's better. Because one of the things, as soon as we are given the thumbs up that we're allowed to feed you, because I'd feed you now, but I don't want to get too much trouble. We're going to do a little family dinner. We're going to do a barbecue as soon as we can. So as soon as that announcement's made to us that we're allowed to do that, we're going to tell you, and then you can start asking me what type of salads and things I like, so that way we can prepare accordingly. You could test them out on your chicken wings. They're always, but we're going to do something fun, and we're going to eat together. We're going to visit, and yes, and we're going to do stuff that we haven't got to do. We're going to sit down and eat together and fellowship the way we should be doing. So I'm excited for that. It's going to be fun. And it's going to be tasty. So we're glad to have you here today with us. We're glad to have you every week with us. But today again, we're glad to have you. We're finishing up our series called Citizenship. And the question was, where is your citizenship held? And our citizenship is held based on how we act, how we live, our BS, our belief system. I got to get that in one last time. Because I know Elaine's like, what are you doing saying that? But it's fun. It's the only reason I do it. But as we understand that, and as we walk through it, as we journey through it, we start to understand where our citizenship is held. And we start to live like that is where our citizenship is held. So we're gonna talk a bit about that here in a second. But in this series, we talked about are you conformed to this world, or have you been transformed by the power and the authority that Jesus has given you? Are you still conformed to everyday ho-hum life, or have you started to make that transition to a heavenly citizenship life? And we talked about kingdom, and we talked about enjoying all the benefits of the kingdom today. Or you can make the choice, I guess, if you really want to, and wait till you die to experience them. But we can experience them today as a new covenant church, as new covenant believers. We can experience the benefits of heaven here in our life today. And we talked about our belief system and this new covenant identity that we have, a prophet, king, priest, and judge. And we talked about when we accept on and believe on Jesus, that we get this new identity. And we talked about Then we talk about how God loves us, and He just loves us. There's no but, there's no yeah but behind that. He just loves us. And to me, that's pretty important. And that was our Mother's Day present. That was your Mother's Day present, ladies. that was our Mother's Day talk. And I think that's something so important for so many of us, because so many of us add the yeah but after that. And we need to crinkle that up, crunch that paper up, and shoot three-pointers with that, because we don't need to be walking in the yeah, but anymore. He just loves us. And we talked about how knowing Jesus and living in the kingdom of heaven that we have here on earth isn't about following these you know, seven steps to being a better wife, one step to being a better husband, and all those things. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But the seven steps to being a better husband, better spouse, better wife, better parent, better this, better that. It's not about those. It's not about the 12 steps to tying your shoes. It's not that. But it's about spending time in His Word and growing. And there's no set formula for each person. It's spending time in His Word and knowing what has already been given to you and won for you, which is where we're going to hit today in this last message. And we've talked this message before, but I just want to kind of reiterate that, not necessarily in these terms. I'm not repeating an old message. Don't worry. You still get your full admission fee. But it's about, I got it. You got it. We've already got it. I got it. We already got it. We could end there. But it's a key principle that has cost the church and believers significantly. It is a pivotal point that impacts our faith. And this is this idea of you got it, I got it. See, you've already been given all the things that you need. And until we understand the cross, until we understand Jesus' death, until we understand the burial, His resurrection, His ascension, we truly miss so much. We don't need to beg or bug God. We don't need to plead. We don't need to weep and wail, God, give this to me, because it's been given according to His Word. And when you read in the Old Testament that they did these sorts of things, you need to know that that is an old covenant thing. And we are a new covenant people. We are a new covenant church. And we need to pray according to our covenant we are in. So everything that you need on this planet has been given to you already. Everything that you pray about, these things have to do with your daily substance, things like finances, relationships, peace, joy, emotional freedom, emotional health, spiritual health, just health, healing, your heart, prosperity, holding back the forces of darkness, victory over the attacks of the enemy. All of these things have been given to you. You got it. And maybe that's bad English. Maybe it's better to say you got it. I don't know. I got it. I get it. Whatever. If you don't get that, if you don't get the fact that you got it, you will not pray effectively, and you will not get peace in your mind and in your heart, and you will continually be beaten down, and you will continually miss the idea of what the benefits are that God has for our life. Our mind, our emotions, we'll look at every storm, everything that happens, everything that tries to press against us, every person that presses against us, every sickness, every attack, every virus, every person, every emergency in our life, and it will beat us down. If you don't get this every time something like that comes up, you're likely going to go into some emotional and fearful, oh no, the sky is falling, not another problem, not another attack. I sound like I don't know who doing that, but it's the best voice I got. It's the only voice I got, really. But that's how we start to live. And we need to recognize that we already have victory over all that stuff, and our life is an everyday miracle. We can be walking every day out in as if it's a miracle, because it is. We've been given all things. And we need to refuse to harbor the idea that the days of miracles are over. Miracles are for us today. Miracles were not for the establishment of the church of the first century. That idea is such baloney, as the one comedian that Seth really likes. It's such Bolshevik. You like that, Seth? And then he always follows it up with, that was close. It's such garbage, and it has robbed us as the church and stolen from us this miraculous flow of God's power in our life. His ability in your life for everything you need. And we talk about this often, that everything that you need, everything from His Word has been given to you. It's been given to us, given to me, given to you. And it's stuff we should be walking in. And when people say, well, why didn't God heal me? You don't get it. Why didn't God protect me? Why didn't God give me direction or bless my finances? You don't get it. It's not waiting for God. It's already been a done deal. You have already been given from God's perspective. It's already been done. You need to walk in it. You need to accept it, and you need to walk it out, because far too many of us are asking those questions like, God, just bless me. And we don't understand that it's been given to us. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. That's past tense. Done deal. You got it already, right? And it was finished 2,000 years ago. And he looked ahead 2,000 years and he saw you and he said, you're blessed. So what does blessed mean? Blessed is just isn't a feeling. Blessed isn't, you know, God's arm around us. Blessed is happy, it's fortunate, it's to be envied by the world. They aren't envious of you grinning as you bear every storm. Oh, just gonna make it through this. I am so blessed to be in this storm. That's not what it's about. And get destroyed by every onslaught and just suffering for Jesus. I'm just here to suffer for Jesus. That's not what everybody wants, is it? Come serve Jesus with me while I suffer. And we're at the lowest of lows. And we catch every disease. We're the poorest of the poor. We're at the bottom. And we're beaten up by everyone around us. But hey, come serve Jesus with me, will ya? See, that's not the pattern we need to be living in. It's not the pattern of our life. That's not what we're called to live. His word has told us how we are to live. His word has given us all these blessings, all these examples of how to live in blessing. And maybe you say, well, there are places in this world where leaders have given up their life for the cause of Christ. You know, we have places like Russia, we have China, we have Muslim countries. And we don't and shouldn't look at those sorts of places and say, oh, that's the way we should live. Oh, they think, you know, that's what we should be expecting. Why should we have it so much better? And let's believe for persecution. There's far too many in churches that believe that today. And we hear things like the church thrives when the blood of the martyr is flowing. And I know we can stand against any storm in these countries, but nothing will stomp out the church and who we are in Christ. And as we stand up, you might get some persecution, not just from out there, but from in here in our own church. You may face that. And that's fine. But to think that we should be believing for it, I think that's the pattern. When you start thinking that that's a pattern, then what do you do with verses like John 10:10? Where it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. See, Jesus says that he came so that we could have life and that we could have it more abundantly. Superior in quality, innumerable in quantity, right? And then some say, well, he doesn't really mean that. Or maybe you're one of the ones that say, well, he only actually is talking about spiritually there. What the heck does that even mean? See, the whole physical world is made out of the spirit, isn't it? Everything around us is made up of the spiritual. We are to be experiencing heaven here today in our life, which is spiritual, right? So you can't differentiate, you can't separate. In my opinion, you can't split them and say, well, that's for the spiritual, this is for the physical. It's for us. It's for our being. It's our wholeness. That's what it's for, I believe, and that's what I believe the Word tells us. Jesus isn't saying, well, I guess you're going to have to stay poor or stay sick, stay downtrodden, stay abused, beat up, scared, and fearful. That's where you're going to have to say sorry, because what I just told you is for the spiritual. No! Jesus cares for you. He wants you to experience all of these benefits. See, he came to give us this great life. And religion has robbed the believer of this life that says everybody can go through a storm. Every marriage and relationship can go through stuff. Why do we take that and hold on to it and grab onto it and make that our identity? Why do we do things as churches like create crazy doctrines to justify when something might happen in our life or something goes on? See, the fact is we live in a fallen world. Things around us might happen, but we need to go to the life giver. We need to stand on his promises and start walking those promises and say, get behind me, I'm going forward. Because we have been blessed. 2 Peter 1, 1-4 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, but which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promise, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So this is telling us about God's grace and his knowledge. And it talks about how as you go for knowledge, that grace would be multiplied onto you. As you spend time in his word, as you spend time in him, and you get to know him, grace would be multiplied on top of that. So you would go for knowledge one time, you're going to get grace pounded on you, poured onto you two times. You go for, knowledge six times, 12 times, grace is going to be poured upon you. Maybe 18 times, it's going to be multiplied. It doesn't say doubled. It could be 10 times poured out on you. But I want to really focus here on the second verse, or the third verse, sorry. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. That's 2 Peter 1:3. She's even got it up there. She's on fire today. It means he has already given us all things to pertain to life and goodness, to godliness. Your life, what you need. If you need some laughter, it's already been given to you. You need some joy? It's already been given to you. You need some health? It's already been given to you. What, you need some prosperity? It's already been given to you. You need some help with relationships? It's already been given to you. You need protection? It's already been given to you. You need favor from your enemies? It's already been given. It's already been given to you. You got it. You got it. I got it. What do you need? It's already been given to you. And if we don't get this, we pray like a slave instead of a son or daughter. But I like son because we're all sons, right, Kathy? We pray like a slave instead of a son. And we look at it like God is our boss and our ruler instead of our father. And those that pray like that, they pray these passionate, weepy, crying prayers. And they attack and scream at the devil. They cry before God. And the world looks at us and say, I don't want what your God has. I don't want what you got. But we're supposed to be blessed. And the world is supposed to look at us with envious eyes and say, I want that. I want what you have. I want the fact that you can pray and thank God, your Father. You're not coming and weeping before this ruler, but you can stand with victory. That's what I want for us all. I think when we get that, man, life can change. Life will change. And then if we keep reading that 2 Peter 1 verse 4, it continues on by saying, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So people, they spiritualize that. Well, what is this divine nature? Okay, so let's spiritualize it for a second, okay? Things like health, is that in heaven? Is there sickness and disease in heaven? No, there's health, 100% health. Is there joy in heaven? There's no weeping in heaven. There's no sadness in heaven. There's joy. Is there wars in heaven? No, there's peace in heaven. Is there rejoicing in heaven? Yes. There's winning in heaven? Yes. There's overcoming in heaven because we are more than conquerors in heaven and earth. And we can go through the list of our things that we equate to life on earth and on and on. And we could say, there's that in heaven. There's victory in heaven. Right? So when Jesus prayed the Lord's Prayer, he said, on earth as it is in heaven. So why would we not expect that here? And it says, how do you make that happen? How do we make all these things happen, though? Through the promises of God. We get up and we start declaring the promises of God, which are found in his word. We have spoken a number of times about this, guys. And we need to speak his word. We need to speak his promises out loud. We need to vocalize it. There are two types of prayer. There's more than two, but there's two that I really like to equate to. When I'm praying with my mouth closed, that was a weird sound. When I'm praying with my mouth closed, and I'm talking to God, I'm enjoying God, I'm fellowshiping with God, I'm sharing my life with God, communing with each other, just getting to know him. But if I want things to change in this world around me, if I want spiritual beings to obey me, if I want to see spiritual shifts, if I want to see enemies move out of my life and out of my way, if I want to mobilize angelic forces of God, angels obey the voice of his word. And we need to speak his promises. We need to speak his word over our life. And this is what we need to be doing from a perspective of, it's mine, I got it, you got it, we got it. That would have been a better name, you got it, rather than you got it. Because I know it's just so grammatically incorrect, and Terry cringes every time I say it. But we got it! We need to speak his promises. We need to vocalize his word. All of his promises, we need to speak. They are ours. Amen? And we need to realize that it's already been given to us. It's been given to us. We are an heir to the inheritance that has already been delivered by the courts of heaven to us. So you know how being an heir to an inheritance, you don't get it till they die, right? Does everybody know that? Maybe a will goes into place when they die. And if you want something before someone dies, you need to talk to them. You can't just go take it. I really wanted that car. I'm just going to take it. No, it's willed to you, so you wait till they pass away, and then you get the car. That's why in the Old Testament, if you read, like I just talked about a few moments ago about the Old Covenant, that's why in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, they had to ask, they would beg, they would plead and ask God for something, for a healing, for this, for that, okay? They would have to beg and plead. But when Jesus died, the death on a cross, the courts of heaven declared a release of the inheritance and the Bible, and everything the Bible says, it says that you are an heir, doesn't it? We are an heir, and so you have an inheritance that has been given to you, and it has been dispersed to you. It's been given to us, to me, and then Jesus rose again. So he's not dead, but we still get the benefits of that inheritance that he died for. All that inheritance has been given to you and to me, so you got it. And we can have this incredible way of moving forward because it has been given, it has been done. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says it this way. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. So what does the world do? See, Jesus would often say the world is chasing things, not chasing him. And we don't chase after the things of the world. We get the Spirit of God, and we chase after the Spirit of God. And from that, then those inheritance, that blessing, those as being an heir flows into us. And we can know and we can experience all that that God has freely given to us. And if I have given it to you, it's yours, right? That's what it says in his word. If he has given it to us, it is ours. It's past tense. See, now we've received past tense. The language of the new covenant is continually and always will be whatever you need. It was given to you. It was in the will. And when Jesus died, it was freely given to you, to me. We got it. Go learn. Go spend time in his word. And get to know what is already yours. It's already yours. And this principle from the word of God is one of the biggest places believers fall flat on our faces time and time again. And they stumble in their prayer life, and their faith life goes out the window as they beg and they plead in old covenant ways, things that have already been given to them. It's already been freely given. You know that there was a death, and that with the death of Jesus, you were freely given your inheritance. And everything changes for you. 1 Peter 2:24 puts it another way. And I think it's cool, before I read this, I think it's cool that Peter, John, Jesus, and others from the Bible teach this idea from the Bible, book after book, verse after verse. This is throughout Scripture. It's not just a one and done, right? This is throughout. Like, we haven't just pulled one Scripture, two Scriptures. There's countless scriptures that all align together and pull this idea together that you got it. And then some people, I'm sorry, I'm taking a sidetrack. And then some people are going to say, though, but I got this verse. Doubters 3:21 says, you're going to suffer. What? You have one verse. I've got a book of verses that tells me that it is mine, that I got it. Put your one verse away. Why don't we follow what a bunch of verses say? 1 Peter 2:24. Sorry, I was sidetracked. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Not going to be healed, but you were healed, right? Not that one day you might be, maybe you'll be healed someday, but you were healed. So when you look at healing, until you get revelation, you recognize all through the word that what you pray in this life, it is done, it has been given you. God said 2,000 years ago, through Jesus' death, and in the will, your name was written, Jim Bob Dewey. I don't know a last name, so that's what you get. Sounded good together. He needed a knee healed. It is his. He is healed. It's done. It is finished. Everything you need was written down, and it was given to you in the will, in the inheritance. Before you were even on this planet. And the good news we are here to talk about and share with our neighbors, it's been given. You are forgiven, and you have a place in heaven if you would believe on Jesus. Amen? And if you take this step and you believe on Jesus and you walk with him, everything that you will ever need has already been given to you according to his word. It's a done deal. If it says repeatedly from person to person of the Bible, from book to book, that you got it. You got it according to the new covenant and the New Testament. Shouldn't you say, I got it? You should. At the very least, you should say, I got it. But you should say, I got it. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said this. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, Believe that you have received them and you will have them. He is saying, even though you don't have it, you still believe you receive it. It is yours. It's in the will. It's part of the inheritance that you have been given. You can't say, well, I believe this, but I don't necessarily believe that. Well, this is for this situation, but oh, I don't know about that. You can't. You either got it, you got it, or you don't got it, right? Every promise of his word is for me. Well, it's also for you. It's for us. And that's exciting. Jesus did the work. It's yours. You don't need to go before the courts of heaven and plead your case. Okay, Mel, can you be my attorney to the courts of heaven, please? I really need this extra $50 in my bank account. No, you've got the prosperity. It says it in his word. You've got all you need. If I go out after today and I'm in town and talking to somebody and say, you got it? Just please, just ignore me. Just throw grace upon that. Right, Terry? See, Jesus did that work. He died, and the inheritance has gone through that courts, and they've already ruled that it is yours. No contesters. Satan may try to contest the will, but you can be assured that he has been defeated, and he has no ground to stand on. You also need to recognize that when you come and you begin to speak the word and you prophesy from the word over your life, you need to do it with a sense of confidence. Not, well, maybe. Do it with confidence, people. Confidence. See, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It says that if you are in Jesus, you are not judged guilty. Sorry, I need a drink. If you're in Jesus, you're not judged guilty. You are not condemned. There is no punishment for your sins. And the expanded version of the Bible actually says here, it says with this verse 8:1, it says, because Jesus took it. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because Jesus took it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that cool? I love that. And because of that, you don't have to bow your head in shame. Stop bowing your head in shame. You don't have to think, I didn't do enough. Did I do enough? I'm just not good enough. How about that? I had a bad thought. Maybe it's I'm struggling with this. You know, I didn't do enough and I just didn't get that miracle. No, your good works don't get you that miracle anyway, so don't worry about it. Yes, do good works for your spouse, for your family, for the kingdom of God. That's important to do. But that doesn't limit your activity into heaven. That doesn't have anything to do with what you get to see. That doesn't have anything to do with the miracles you get to see and achieve in your life and be a part of. Doesn't get to do anything with your healing. The number of good works you have, okay, God's got a tally. Okay, yeah, carry the one. Yeah, you get that toe fixed. Yeah, you get your knee fixed. Oh, no, oh, you just did that. Now I got to take a couple. Toes hurting again. It's not how it works. It's been given to you. And great, that's awesome. Because you were created also for good works. But don't think for a moment that your good works or your good behavior, your sticker chart, like anybody ever do a sticker chart, a chore chart for your kids and you do the 12 chores and you get a candy. Now I don't think I'd get away with anything less than $100 probably. But it's a lot more stars. See, the sticker chart and the chore charts and all that, when you are in this good will, you qualify for miracles with God. It's been given to you. We don't qualify. It is strictly a gift, actually, from God. But we are qualified because of Jesus. See, it's no longer on our qualifications. It's all on Jesus and his work on the cross that we are qualified and receive that free gift. This ability to be confident that God is working with him in me. If there's a big storm coming and I know that God is with me and for me, but oh, shoot, I see that storm, but I forgot to give my tithe this month. I can't believe there's a storm coming and I just yelled at Lyle and screamed and stormed and stomped my foot 10 times. Oh, I see this storm and I just drove like a maniac and I flipped off the RCMP. I don't know what you're doing. It wasn't me. Maybe you used a four-letter colorful word. I better check that God is still there for me. No, God is, God is gone. He's no longer behind me. What? Don't be thinking, oh no, God, which of my sins has cost me your presence? Forgive me, God, for this sin, and oh, you're still not there, God. Oh, forgive me for this sin, God. Oh no, you're still not there. Forgive me for this sin, and suddenly you're at sin 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 20, 40, whatever it is. Oh, good God, you came back. Finally, it took only the 40 sins for me to repent of. Guys, that's the thinking of too many churches. That's the thinking of too many religious people. See, Romans 8, 33 to 34 says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, just like I just said. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is also at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So who brings charges or condemns us or accuses us? Who does? What does that verse tell us? I didn't read anybody. Nobody, actually. Nobody. No one. God is the one who declares you and I righteous. It doesn't matter what any of you say about me or about Joe or about Pete. God is the one who declares us righteous. Right? And many will still struggle with your conscience. Many struggle with, do I qualify? Have I done enough? I had this happen when I was younger or whatever it is. I hurt that person when I was doing this financially, or I did this to them. I was involved with this or that. And maybe you say, Dave, if you knew my past, I just deserve this pain I'm going through right now. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop condemning yourself. Because I just read, there's no one there to condemn you when you're in Jesus. If I wasn't in church right now, I would tell you, just shut up and just read what his word says about you. But we're in church, so I won't say that. But see, the guy who wrote most of this New Testament that we read, what was he? He was a murderer. He murdered Christians for most of his life. And so what is written here, it says, come boldly before the throne of God. We need to deal with our conscious issues, don't we? We need to stop putting them up as our wall and our own protection, but really they're just hurting us. We need to start knowing that there's no condemnation in Christ. Hebrews 9:9 says that it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regards to the conscience. It's saying that the sacrifice that Jesus made, the gifts that you have been given through the inheritance, it says they are pertaining to the conscience. If we don't jump down to verse 14, or sorry, if we jump down to verse 14, we read this, though. And 9:14 is there. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God? Purge your conscience. Purge it. When you purge your conscience, it cleans out the guilt. It cleans out the condemnation. It cleans out the idea that, oh, I'm not good enough. It cleans out how could God even love me? I'm such a mess. It cleans out the low self-worth. It's funny because I just heard this talk earlier this morning, but it cleans out the shyness. Well, that's just my personality. No, it is not. We are not to be shy before God. He has not made us shy. Maybe you're slow to trust, and that's different than shyness. God has called us not to be a shy people. We do not come before God with fear or shyness. We come before God full of confidence, don't we? We should be coming before our fellow believers full of confidence. Be very sure that you come confidently and approach God's throne room with confidence. You're not coming before a throne of judgment. When you come to church here with us, we should not be coming, well, I hope Mel doesn't look at my hair that's out of place. I don't have a hair out of place, Mel. Don't you worry. I hope that so-and-so doesn't judge me for this. I hope that so-and-so doesn't look at my nose and see that it's crooked. I don't know. But we should be able to approach fellow believers just like we approach God with confidence, not expecting to be judged. But we should be coming here expecting to be built up, to be encouraged, to be lifted up, to be loved, not to be judged, not to be beat down, not to be condemned. When we come before God, we come before what? A throne of grace. We come before Him with love, with His love. And He is wanting us to approach Him confidently. And when you come, you will receive mercy and grace and love and judgment and blessings will be poured out upon you. We're going to receive His favor. What if as a church, when we came before each other, we received each other's favor? What if as a church, when we came before each other, we received each other's grace and love and mercy? What if as a church, we built each other up rather than tear each other down and, oh, you did this, and we've got the abacus out, rights and wrongs, right? What if as a church, we just poured out love? Because that's what we're to do. I'm on a complete side there on what the purpose of the message was, but I think it's an important thing that we need to remember and think on as well. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, you've already been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Come boldly when you pray. Pray with a sense of Daddy, Father, Abba, God. Thank you. Because you know it's already been given to you. You got it. And if I'm asking Him, I need to ask without concern that he will say no, because He's already said yes. He's already given it. You got it. Do you got it yet? He's already given it. So we can now enjoy our time with God. We don't have to be fearful of, oh, I hope He doesn't strike me down with that. Don't worry about the lightning bolt. It's not here to zap you. How many times have you heard, I can't go into church. God will strike me down when I go in those doors. Or, oh, all those people, like, they're going to just judge me. The place of the church is not for judgment. We're not going to get lightning bolts. It would be super cool if we had a lightning bolt come and, like, it would be a neat thing. But not to strike us down. That's not what I'm saying. I better clarify. It'd be just cool to see a lightning bolt. Yeah. Maybe if it was an outdoor church day. And we needed a fire, and John didn't bring his fire starter things, and I forgot mine, and we didn't have a match. And then got squirrel. He's already given it to us, though, right? If I asked Him, and I don't need to ask Him with concern, because I got it. So we can enjoy that time. It's already ours. I got it. Mary, I'm going to ask you to come up because I forgot to invite you up. But that's okay because I got it. Right? Do you got it? I want you guys this week to know and to remember, and as you walk through life and as you walk through and journey through whatever's going on, to just know that you got it. You got it. His word says you got it. Do you got it? Good. Nobody's going to throw rocks at me for improper, because we're going to show grace in my improper English. You got it. And I want you guys to really to grab onto that idea of I got it. Because if we don't grab onto the idea, we're going to miss it. And we're going to walk through life with that downtrodden. We're going to walk through life, I'm just shy. We're going to walk through life with, have I done enough? We're going to walk through life with, what really starts to happen when you start doubting that is you start lashing out. And you start shooting at people rather than shooting people love. Because when you're always wondering where your situation is, you're never going to have the confidence to love. You won't. If you don't fully grasp the idea of, I got it, it's mine, and you can have it too, what's going to happen? We lash out. We're no longer spreading the love that we've been told to spread. We're no longer doing the things that His Word has told us to do. But we become selfish. It's a lot harder to be free sometimes with our money and with our stuff when we are coming from a perspective of I earned it, rather than it's been given to me already through Him. It's a lot easier to say, would you stand with me in prayer? I'm believing for this healing. I've already got it. But would you stand with me? When you have this position of confidence rather than sitting there in the corner saying, I'm just going to hide and not let anybody know what I'm going through. It's a lot easier to do all those things when you're confident and know that you got it. And if you don't know Jesus, if you're watching online, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and you've known Jesus and you're just like, you're kind of struggled, you've kind of been back and forth, and you're like, man, I haven't been living like I got it. I need to got it. Then pray with us this morning. Agree with me in this prayer. Repeat after me. If you want to know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus and you want to cross that line from knowing about Jesus, hearing about Jesus, to actually knowing Jesus and starting on that journey with us, would you just repeat after me in this prayer? And if you know Jesus, repeat after me. And we're going to talk in a moment. So let's just pray, okay? Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. And take every punishment and every curse and make me free. Thank you, Jesus, that I got it. That I can walk in the inheritance that you've already given me. Thank you that I'm now free. So Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Just let me know that I am loved, important, and valued. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, if that's you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, call me at the church, 306-882-2453. Email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca. If you're here, hit me up the side of the head as you're walking on, say, I need to talk to you, because there's more than this. There are some next steps. I want to walk with you. I want to give you a Bible. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. I want to connect you. I want to walk with you and journey with you. And we want to walk and journey with you as a church. So if you're here, we'd love to have you connect with us. If you're not from town, call me and we'll connect you with a good church wherever you might be. If you're watching online from town, call me and we'll see. We'll figure out how to get you connected here in a way that is comfortable for you. Let's pray in closing. And if this is you now, if you're like, I know that I should got it, but I haven't been living like I got it. Or maybe you're saying, I'm struggling with condemnation. I'm struggling with guilt. I'm struggling with, did I do enough? And you want to walk in that guilt-free righteousness that Christ has called us to and given us through that inheritance. Would you just agree with me? Father God, you see the hearts of the people that are saying, that's me, that I haven't been walking in that guilt-free life. I haven't been walking in that idea and that mindset that you have already given it to me. And I've been walking in condemnation. I've been walking in guilt. I've been walking and trying to do my own righteousness bit. But God, from today on, I'm making a shift in my life. And I'm going to start walking in this idea of, and this biblical response of, I got it. You've already given it to me, God. I thank you for that. I thank you that you've given it to all of us. God, I thank you that we don't have to walk our life in condemnation, but we can fully experience everything of your word because you have given it to us through the inheritance, through the death, burial, ascension, resurrection, ascension of Jesus, your Son. God, we thank you that we are heirs to everything, that we have this inheritance, God, and I pray that as we leave this place, that we walk in the inheritance that you have given us. We walk in the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control that you've given us. And God, I pray that today on, that we make some steps in our lives to walk and journey closer to you. And we know that we got it. God, give us an amazing week, Father. Bless us, lead us, guide us. And just remind us each day that we got it and you've given it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, a couple announcements before we go offline. Are we offline? Okay, good. Couple of announcements. So if you're interested in joining our music team, Lyle had this great idea and I forgot to do it last week, so I'm doing it this week. If you're watching online from somewhere and you're a musician and you're from Rosetown or area and you're not afraid to drive in, reach out to us. We'd love to have you join our music team. I'll get you, once we talk, we'll get you in connection with our music director, Mary, and we'll just figure out how we can, how everything works and how we can fit in and get you on a schedule. And if you're from here and you want to join us, talk to us. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to just plug you in where you feel gifted. And this is the last week of our this series called Citizenship, and we're going to start talking about our giftings again. Because as I said earlier in service, pretty soon we're going to get to have coffee again, right? And what does that mean? Kathy's coffee. And we'd love to have Kathy train a couple people up to help her out and just to get to visit with us, get to hear each other's heart again, just to share and visit and have coffee together and laugh and have donuts and whatever. I like donuts. Muffins, whatever. I also like Egg McMuffins if anybody wants to run to Saskatoon or Kindersley and grab me one on those mornings. Not saying you have to, but your pastor would sure appreciate it. Just kidding. I'm just teasing. Don't do that. But we're going to have this opportunity to gather and pray and laugh together and go off to breakout rooms and just visit. And that's going to be starting at end of June once we get kind of figured out. But the thing is we want to start talking about our giftings again, because starting in the summer when we start doing things again, starting in the fall when we kick off all of our ministries again, our Parent and Top Play Cafe, our Single Moms Ministry, all these things start kicking off again. And maybe you got a ministry burning in your heart and you're like, oh, I sure wish somebody would ask me to do this. Don't wait for somebody to ask you. Come and talk to me, okay? Because I don't know. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you something and I haven't listened. I missed it. I was focused on something else when I should have been listening to that moment. So come and tell me, and we can pray about it together and see how it jives together. But the biggest thing we want is in the fall, I'm sorry, Mary, for making you play so long. The biggest thing in the fall is we want to kick off and we want to reach our community again and continue to love them and continue to pour out into them starting in, you know, August, September, okay? We're going to do it through the summer too, don't get me wrong. Once I can do another Slurpee Day, we're going to do a Slurpee Day again. And we're going to do things throughout the summer. And we're going to love people. And we're going to love God. Amen? So have a great week, guys. God bless. And we will see you next week.